Call to order the House Committee, Subcommittee on Higher Education for Wednesday, January 24th. Thank you for being here, members. We're going to have a first public hearing on House Bill 2245. And I'd like to invite Dennis Johnson forward to... before we do that, excuse me, Mr. Johnson, you can come forward while my administrators are explaining the bill. Members have our very qualified administrator read off a summary of the bill for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have before you the preliminary staff measure summary on House Bill 2245, which establishes in statute the access to student assistance programs in reach of everyone. The acronym is ASPIRE, to be administered by the Oregon Student Assistance Commission, OSAC. The bill states ASPIRE's objectives of providing mentoring to help secondary students access education and training beyond high school, helping high schools recruit volunteer mentors, and educating students and families about financial aid options. It establishes in the State Treasury the ASPIRE Program Fund for state appropriations, private donations, and grants, and it declares an emergency and becomes effective July 1st, 2007, if passed.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Johnson, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Would you care to start us off? Please identify yourself. And
Mr. Chair, I am Dennis Johnson, Executive Director of the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. And if I may, I would like to have someone join me, Margie Lau from the Governor's staff.
Absolutely.
Has a few remarks to begin.
That would be fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, particularly Representative Clem.
For the record,
my name is Margie Lau. I'm a policy advisor in the governor's office working on the education enterprise. And we just wanted to pass along to the committee this afternoon the support that the governor has for this program. We consider this to be an important component of the governor's overall education enterprise initiative. It reinforces many of the important functions that are within the enterprise, and we see these as very important collaborations and complementary services that will help Oregon increase the number of students who finish high school and achieve their post-secondary educational goals, which is something that's important for their success as well as the success of Oregon both economically and in terms of its citizenry. I want to go over several of the programs that ASPIRE is important to, and starting with the enhanced high school graduation requirements. When students have goals beyond high school, being successful in high school becomes an even more important interim step for them. And so ASPIRE helps those students build those goals and to make sure that they understand that there are many possibilities that are awaiting them if they're successful while they work on their high school completion. Beyond that, the governor's initiatives related to the shared responsibility model, expansion of the Oregon Opportunity Grant. It's very important that students finish high school and understand how to navigate the post-secondary educational choices that they have and opportunities so that they then can make the best use of their resources as well as other resources to help realize those dreams. In addition to that, we have many proposals that will strengthen and expand our post-secondary educational choices for students. Those include strengthening our Oregon University system and our community college systems, as well as other programs having to do with the workforce and our apprenticeship programs. All of these are very important. ASPIRE will help strengthen those programs by developing more capable students who will become recipients of those services, as well as those programs hopefully will strengthen what ASPIRE does by giving ASPIRE more opportunities to share with these students as they do their planning. We think it's really important that the committee understand the interlinkages between all of the services that we've knit together in the enterprise. And with that, I'd be glad to answer any of your questions.
Members, any questions at this point, or should we let Mr. Johnson proceed? Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, it's a privilege to sit here and talk about the Aspire program. I could turn around and preach to the choir, but many, many in the room know this program very well. The program does exist, and the first item in your handouts is a map of the state of Oregon showing the schools that we're very active in right now. It's thrilling to realize the reach of the program, and that's really basically what that illustrates. We are talking about a program that encourages education beyond high school for all Oregonians and deals with all types of post-secondary options. And that sheet that talks about what does Aspire do really doesn't convey fundamentally probably enough. We're talking about changing a culture within a high school. Perhaps within families, changing to a culture of achievement, a can-do kind of attitude. So Aspire, achievement, can-do, all of those positive kinds of things, those are goals of the program. It does provide resources and consultation, expertise, training, so that communities end up with sustainable volunteer programs. And that's a goal of the program, not a one-shot deal, not coming in and starting something and then going off and risking it to flounder. We've shown over time these communities become stronger. Volunteers recruit volunteers. It is a sustainable program. And, of course, the overall goal is to get more students into post-secondary education, all options within post-secondary education, and to get them funded. It's not just having the access, but making it affordable for them, having scholarships and forms of financial assistance that make it affordable where it appeared not to be affordable previously. You're going to see in the sidebars our wonderful testimonials. They're a tiny little fraction of what we could talk about, because for every student who has been helped by Aspire, there seems to be a success story, and we certainly have some of those even in the room with us today. It is a critical statewide need, as I point out here. In Oregon, the student-to-counselor ratio is so far above the national average, so far above the recommended average, that you could call it a critical situation. When you consider a bill, you declare a state of emergency, and I think it is very little exaggeration to say there's a state of emergency with some of our students getting the help that they need to go on to post-secondary education. So Aspire extends the reach of high school guidance counselors. Where they can't meet with students one-on-one, the program makes possible mentoring. There are other hidden things that come with that. There's the role model that students achieve, an adult role model, someone who cares about their success after high school. The critical difference, then, the help, the advice, the services, the role modeling, and the change in the culture within that high school, within that community, perhaps, as I said, within that family. You could, as I move on to the next slide, you could just base this on strictly economic factors. You could say, wow, more educated people means a better tax base for the state of Oregon. And, of course, that's true. And there are just those very direct economic consequences of investments like this. And I think it's not telling anyone information they don't know, but it's good to be reminded of how investments like this do pay off as we get more education for Oregon's population. We have some evidence on the next sheet, direct evidence about what happens in Aspire high schools compared to non-Aspire high schools. At the commission, we administer over 340 programs, private scholarships, targeted public programs for specific populations. We have a unified application every year, and we track how many of them come from students who are in our Aspire high schools. And you can see over the history of the program, since its inception in just a small number of high schools, you can see the dramatic increase in applications at Aspire high schools. Now, overall, we do a lot of publicity. We get out there in high schools and work with professional organizations of all kinds, work with all the organizations in Oregon post-secondary education. But what it shows is that Aspire students seem to be applying more than students at other high schools. So it is working. That's one
question.
Representative Greenlick.
Thank you. About this table, I can't help asking questions about tables. I assume it's not the same number of high schools on the Aspire column through this, through all those years. Is that right?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlake, the number of high schools, it did grow during those years.
So part of this growth is the growth of high schools?
The growth in the high schools that we have the Aspire program based, yes, correct.
No, part of the growth is simply more schools that are in your base, not necessarily a higher proportion of their students applying?
Yes, correct. This, Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlake, this is a very cursory, high-level measure, and all it says is from this number of high schools that are in the program in a given year, this is how many applications
we have.
Make
it useful to have the number of high schools.
Of course.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, to continue, what I'm talking about is really proving cost effectiveness. So the data are extremely important, and we will gather as much as we can. Certainly, just looking at the data from the past year, we're talking about more than 6,000 students receiving individual one-on-one mentoring, more than 25,500 students receiving information about college selection, about how to apply, how to choose among colleges, how to get into the financial aid process, how to complete those really terrifically difficult, complex forms. The free application for federal student aid is longer than the U.S. tax form, the 1040, you might realize. And getting people into that process and helping them through it is very important work here. The cost per student in the 2005-2006 year, the most recently completed fiscal year, is something over $22. We project, taking this program, which is now in just over 80 high schools, to 150 high schools, we project some savings, some cost savings of scale. And we are looking at, for the next biennium, a per-student cost of just over $16.40. And it is only possible because of the next sheet, the volunteers who do this major work for the state of Oregon. In 2005-06, Aspire volunteer time was valued at over $500,000. We had over 950 volunteers. They serve an average of 30 hours. There's an organization called independentsector.org. There, you can see their work on the internet. They value an hour of volunteer time at just over $18. Now realize, and we must remind ourselves all the time that these mentors, some of them are professional people who would earn much, much more than that in their daily occupations. Some of them retired from occupations where they were earning much more than that. Others are perhaps people who earn slightly less. But the important thing is to put some kind of value on this. This is what a national organization says the value of a volunteer time or volunteer time computes to be. Again, a cursory measure, but important to realize that what we're looking at, an expansion from 80-some high schools to 150 high schools, reaching that many more students, we will, within 2 years, if we're able to do this, have volunteer time estimated at more than $1 million within a school year. This general fund investment, in other words, then provides, through these challenge grants to high school, the leveraging. It's leveraging state dollars to get all of these volunteer dollars and to get the grassroots buy-in for the program. Volunteers, it's Not anyone's, and not a surprise here, volunteers are at the foundation of many, many things that we do in our state and in our society. But this is impressive growth in the number of volunteers in any kind of setting, any organization, any nonprofit, any charity that had this kind of growth in volunteers would call itself pretty successful. We think it's nothing short of amazing that we can do this in this public-private kind of partnership that is our commission and is the mission of what we're doing. This culture of achievement I mentioned earlier, we take this very seriously. All students, not just those who are labeled college-bound, who have parents who went to college perhaps or have degrees themselves, not just those who have family encouragement, are encouraged to participate in Aspire. In fact, we make special efforts to reach the students who may not be considered college material in their high schools. Students who sign up for mentoring, at some over 6,000 students last year, receive up to 30 hours of one-on-one mentoring each school year. That may be the critical difference in that young person's life. Aspire also, though, benefits the non-mentored students, and I'm not talking about just the climate that is established in that high school, but also the workshops that are offered, the assistance, the drop-in kinds of advice, the 5 or 10 minutes in a hallway that answer the question that young person needed. That may be all that is required in that case, but it's those kinds of difficult-to-measure encounters that also contribute to this success. So we're making a statewide impact. The number of students served, if you look at the slide that shows from 1999, 2001, the biennium way back then, 600 some students, and that was a very good beginning for the program. It has grown phenomenally over this past biennium, 2005 to 2007. We're looking at close to 40,000 students served, and tremendous growth projected if we can reach into 150 high schools over the next biennium. Finally, I mentioned testimonials. I could have picked from a rich library of testimonials. Everyone wants to talk about success, but I think it's extremely important that a person who's in a position like Mr. Park, someone at a high school who can look at the whole culture of that high school and can say whether this program really made a difference to students. And when you look at some of the sidebar statistics and you see a school like Ashland High School that we feature in one of the sidebars, for example, you can say a few years ago, some over 60% of our students were considering going on. Now it's over 80%. That's the kind of huge difference that Mr. Park here is talking about and why we picked his quote. And then finally, we all have marketing materials. That's a little brochure at the back, how we promote this within the schools.
Mr. Johnson, thank you. We're going to make use of your enthusiasm for the program for a few more moments and ask you to answer some questions from the committee. Committee members, just so you know, this is the first public hearing. We have a number of folks who would like to speak about this program and about this proposal. So I'm hoping that we can be concise with our questions and make sure everyone gets a chance to talk today. And we will reserve the right to continue this discussion for future public hearings as well. And, of course, since Ms. Representative Clem's been so in the middle of getting this developed, we're just going to have him not speak today at all. just kidding. So questions for either Mr. Johnson or Ms. Lowe?
Representative Cromwell. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a couple of questions, if I may, and a couple of them that are fairly technical on the bill. But my first question is on Mr. Johnson on page. The one that says volunteers creating community investment. At the bottom, it says general fund investment will provide challenge grants to high schools to ensure grassroots buy-in. What does that mean?
What we, Mr. Chair, Representative Cromwell, what we have learned is that the program has been more successful in high schools when an actual financial commitment is expected of that high school. So we're not taking out a program that cost nothing for the high school. The program has been built on a model where we have provided, through the soft money, the grants and outside funding that we have raised, we have provided half the cost of a site coordinator. And the school has come up with the other half. Now, some of them do this through their regular budgets. Others have fundraisers. We have everything from the proceeds from soda machines to bake sales, raising the cost of perhaps $5,000 or so to have a site coordinator. Not the whole cost, but the school district share. So, again, what we're talking about is not replacing the school district chair here, but having the state provide that seed money through general fund. And that's the leveraging the challenge grant that we refer to.
Okay, thank you. And then, if I may, Mr. Chair,
hello?
On the first page of the bill, in section 2, it on line 9, it says the commission may provide students in Oregon secondary schools with information about financial aid and education and training options beyond high school. Then if we go down further, it says line 17 and 18, it says the program shall bring together students, school staff, community volunteers, and parents to help students overcome obstacles to their continuing education. And then it says the program may provide high schools and high school resource centers with training, technical assistance, et cetera. What I'm concerned about there is that the language is not the same. In one section, we're giving direction. In other sections, we are being permissive. I think that one of the things that we need to make sure of legislatively that we look at, Mr. Chair, is whether we're, you know, what, and it doesn't really matter to me whether we want to permit it or we want to require it, but we should be, I think that we should be the same there. And then the other question that I have is that in section 2, sections 1, A, B, and C, it lays out what the objectives of the program are. So my question around that is that then are those going to be the benchmarks for the performance measures around this program so that we can look at that and say this is giving us what our outcomes are expected to be. And so the outcomes of the program then are going to be based on what we're actually putting in the statute.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kummel, these are very astute observations. The first page, I think an important distinction to make is that we shall do this in Oregon high schools. We may do this in some of these other alternative programs. We are already reaching out to homeschooling centers where they have requested the program. We already are working in some ways with some alternative high schools. As you know, not all high schools fit,
right.
High schools fit the same mode. So it, I think, is entirely appropriate to have the difference of shall be required to work with high schools, may also work with these others as the program needs are identified. The differences within Section 2, I had not noticed. I don't know if anyone else back at the commission had that. Line number 9, perhaps that should say shall. I couldn't refer to that. It came from legal counsel, and legislative counsel recommended that language. It could be changed, though. The point then about performance measures being tied to this, absolutely. We take performance measures extremely seriously. We want to be able to get these data on how many students going on, what do they do, how do we measure the success of the program. Outcomes is what we're really seeking here.
Okay. Just a question to you, Mr. Chair. Does this also have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means?
Yes.
It does.
Okay. I just wanted to. May I ask one more question? And on line 23 on the first page of the bill, it says it's a student, a high school or homeschool may not be required. Oh, okay. Never mind. I think I figured out the meaning from that. One recommendation that I would make, Mr. Chair, is to look at those mays and shells because, again, then on line 21, there's a may in there that, quite frankly, if they may provide the training and mentoring to students, but we've already trained them, then we've put out money for training that we, you know, may not ever see any kind of recapture on. So I would say if we're going to train these adult volunteers, let's require them to go out and do what we train them to do.
We'll take that up as part of the work session. Thank you, Representative Kremel. Representative Greenlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure who to ask this question to, but we put it out on the table, and if this isn't the right person, Mr. Johnson's not right, perhaps someone else will. This has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Correct.
It points out in the staff report that there's $1.4 million in the governor's proposed budget to go into this fund. Ways and Means will have its own understanding of whether that's going to stay in the budget or not. Is this bill relevant even if Ways and Means does not put the $1.4 million in or puts nothing in? Or maybe we still want to pass the bill independently?
Representative Clem wants to respond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We definitely do. And the reason for that is the foundations and partners who have been paying all of the costs of this program want to see this in state law, so they know their investment is not always at the whim of the commission or, well, I mean, really at this point it's just the commission. It's a commission-created program. So it's very important to codify and establish in statute the program parameters that makes the folks who have invested millions and millions of dollars feel much better.
And the fund to put that money in a specific place.
Yeah, and to be able to accept donations as well, because I think that's the second piece of it, is it's general fund but also a place. And they
grants,
you know,
and in contributions.
Mm-hmm. And in-kind donations probably as well.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. That answers my question.
Thank you, Representative. Were those questions set up? For the
okay. No,
Representative,
we're not.
Clem told me I had it.
Representative Clem.
Yeah, and I promise I will just try and do it all right here. And my only argument about this is, A, this is the best thing ever. that's really the only argument I have about the bill. But I kind of looked at who we're going to see, so I don't need to acknowledge them now. There's a former commissioner, a current commissioner, and so I would like to, of course, extend my courtesies, but they will be at the podium. But the person I want to talk about just for a moment, if I might, is the woman who invented this program, Vicki Merkel. Can you wave a little bit? So I need to not tear up while I'm doing this. This might be a challenge. I'll try and keep it brief, but you're going to hear about all these great things this program does for communities, for students. This program would not exist without her. She is the exemplary public servant. She spent 30 years in a career in human services and then made this choice on her own to come to Student Assistance Commission, I'm sure at a lower salary and a far lower sort of starting over as a freshman at the agency. And this was her baby. And I mean, this meant going around and raising, this is no statutes, no general fund, going around to foundations nationally and all over Oregon, talking them into this, inventing all the rules around it, the model of hiring a part-time, well, a matching grant program and getting communities to commit, and grown it all the way to this point with essentially some support from people like David Mesereau behind her as a commissioner and folks at the agency. But she was always having to compete in the shadow of, we were in the student loan business, we were in all these other things, and this program is incredible. And you'll hear about that part, but she needs to be acknowledged by the people of Oregon for what she's done.
Thank you for that acknowledgement, and thank you for your work, and thank you for being here today.
I have a question.
Representative Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is this Aspire program, of course, it's all the public students, but includes charter schools and private schools and also homeschoolers? Include everybody, or do you exclude some groups?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lim, yes, we do include charter schools, homeschool centers where homeschool parents have gone together and formed a resource center. We're working with some of those, and we certainly would expect to continue. So it is the whole range of secondary schools that we currently are working with and certainly intend to work with and expand our efforts in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lynn, to clarify, because the program to date has been funded only through support from foundations, that it's been a competitive grant process where schools actually needed to apply and to identify how they would provide their particular match. It's a very small match, but it's still an important part of their commitment to the program. And so, as Dennis said, it has had a wide variety of different educational entities who participated. The hope is, though, to take it to a much larger stage. We're not going to have the resources in 07-09 to cover all of the high schools in the state, but that's ultimately the goal. is to actually have it so that every high school student in Oregon who wants to participate would have access to the program.
Okay, great, great program.
Any other questions for these? Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson. Ms. Lowe, thank you for coming today. We look forward to future conversations. At this point, I'd like to call up Alicia Lund. Help me out here, Rep.
I do not know how to say that part myself, Mr. Chair. I only knew her as Alicia Lund, and
there you go.
Many, many years.
Thank you. My apologies for not being able to get your name correctly.
We know when the call marketers call.
And Mr. Is it Mirso?
Mesereau.
Mesereau. Would you like to come up as well? Thank you, Ms. Mesereau.
I'll start. Good morning, or excuse me, good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. There's a handout going around. I'm going to just read through an abbreviated version, if that's okay.
That'd be great.
My name is Alicia Lund Shea.
Shea, thank you.
And I reside at 1329 Southeast 34th Avenue in Portland. I'm here today because of my association with Aspire and also as an independent evaluation researcher. In past years, I have conducted evaluation research for Aspire, and with that in mind, I actually prefer not to advocate one way or the other on HB 2245. I would, however, like to present you with a brief summary of my findings that should help you assess the merits and need for this legislation. I also need to let you know that after having completed two evaluation reports for Aspire, I was asked to serve on the advisory team, and so I acknowledge that it is going to be difficult to avoid the appearance of a firm advocacy stance at this point. So at this time, I would like to call your attention to two issues in particular. First is the rates of post-secondary enrollment for graduates from Aspire high schools, and second, the proportion of students from Aspire high school to apply for private scholarships. When I conducted my research in 2003, the most recent year for which there is complete post-secondary enrollment data for Oregon colleges and universities, I found that students from Aspire high schools were more likely to enroll in Oregon's post-secondary education institutions than students from other Oregon high schools when taking into account the effects of poverty and racial distribution. Including control variables like this means that I cannot give you meaningful straight percentage comparisons between Aspire schools and other Oregon high schools. However, this study was done at a relatively early stage in the program's history, and based on this analysis, I can say that for each additional year that Aspire is in a school, the Oregon post-secondary enrollment rate can be expected to increase. The other point of note that should be of interest to you is that in the 2003 study, I found that graduates from Aspire high schools were consistently more likely to apply for scholarships administered by OSAC's private awards program than students from other Oregon high schools. This was true for all years Aspire has been a part of Oregon's schools. This part of the study was a straightforward comparison without the addition of control variables. So, for example, for the class of 2003, 19% of Aspire graduates applied for scholarships administered through OSAC's private awards programs, while just 15% of graduates from all other Oregon high schools applied. I don't know if that addresses the question that you had earlier. As is the case with many studies, this evaluation study suggests there's a positive relationship between Aspire and post-secondary enrollment rates, as well as a positive relationship between Aspire and the likelihood that students are left to apply for OSAC-administered scholarships. But it does not explain why this is. And I'm only pointing this out as an opportunity to refer you to some other related research that may be of assistance in deliberating the merits of HB 2245. If you would like to investigate the supplemental information, please refer to the written statement I've provided for the reference. Before wrapping up, I thought it would be helpful for you to hear some of the things that students said about what they thought would improve Aspire. If you'll refer to the written statement, you'll see a few thoughts summarized from hundreds of statements Aspire students provided in response to an open-ended survey in spring of 2003. I would like to note, however, that some students actually suggested that all students should be required to meet with an Aspire advisor at least once before graduation, which was kind of surprising to me that a student wanted something to be required. So that's the sum of it. I have loads of other information if you're interested. Thanks for this opportunity to participate in the decision-making process. I would be happy to answer any questions from the committee. And if anybody has more specific questions you would like to have answered that involve, you would like to review the data tables or would like to read any of the full reports I've written, please do let me know. I'll do my best to get you what you need immediately.
Thank you very much. Members, any questions?
No, I would just, Mr. Chair, because it's she is in her hat as a researcher. What she hasn't told you is after that, they figured out how smart she was, the governor and the Senate, and appointed her to the Student Assistance Commission. So she is a commissioner, a volunteer, giving of her time now on all the policies, not just Aspire. Am I right?
I haven't received that notice yet.
Well, I'll be calling the governor on that, Mr. Chair.
Get on the phone, Representative Flynn. Ms. Mesereau, would you like to offer your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the Subcommittee on Higher Education, I want to take a different line than my colleague at the testimony table here did. I'm an unabashed, biased supporter of this program. There's whatever objectivity I have, I think it's based on bias rather than prejudice. Bias comes from experience. Prejudice is something you have before you actually get there. On my written testimony, I've taken the first two paragraphs.
Could I ask you to identify yourself just
I'm
for
sorry,
the record?
Yeah. My name is David Mesereau, M-E-S-I-R-O-W. I live at 2136 Northeast 20th Avenue, Portland.
Thank you.
97212.
Your bias is noted as well.
Thank you. I've spent the first two paragraphs of my testimony to identify the fact that I'm a foot soldier in this activity with substantial experience. While I served on the commission, I worked very hard to bring this program into being. For the last three sessions of this legislature, I've sought to have installed in statute the provisions of House Bill 2245, and it's my hope that this year is an opportunity to finally complete this mission. I want to stress how tough it is to become a member of the Aspire program. As the director of a high school program in the Portland Public Schools, and it was an alternative program, I've devoted a large part of my professional career to helping young people who don't find the mainstream system something they can work well with. When I submitted my first application to become an Aspire school, I was turned down. I apparently had not filled out the application in sufficient detail to satisfy the members selecting people, and I was given the opportunity to apply a second time. I'm thankful for that. The second application was successful. I want to draw attention to the piece that both the current executive director and Representative Clem talked about. As a teacher in a classroom, you know what it may be like to suddenly be confronted by volunteers. They can be of an enormous amount of help or an incredible piece of molasses to try to deal with. The key element of the person who put all of this program together, who you've been introduced to, Ms. Vicki Merkel, was to make sure that the volunteers who arrived had been trained, they were provided with information, and they had an access of support beyond the person immediately at the school, that through the state organization of the Aspire program, there was always a place for a volunteer to turn to for additional training, additional information, and additional support, and that the weight of that was not placed on the school. And you know the decade that we've just come through has been a tough one for schools. The counselor load of counselors per student or students per counselor is so overwhelming that the opportunity to get to questions that are raised by the Aspire program and the assistance that are provided is no longer possible in schools. for me, that was the key of all of this legislation, is to establish a place where we could communicate to all of the private foundations that have helped so far that the state had an active, deep interest in sustaining this program. And the piece that needs to be sustained is that ability to prepare those volunteers. Sending a whole bunch of volunteers to the school with no training, no information, and no support is adding to the burden of the schools and is likely to be not immediately picked up, if at all. To provide at relatively minimal cost that kind of service. Sort of reminds me, and this is probably age-specific, when I was a young, very young person on the playground, I noticed immediately that there were a couple of people who knew the trick of the slide. They had their popsicle coverings, which had a slight amount of wax on it, would go over to the slide and run. And it allowed speedier descents. An Aspire volunteer, by and large, is really doing the same sort of thing. Is providing a quick, efficient, personal, individual source of support and assistance to young people who are trying to navigate a very complex process of getting to post-secondary training. Any of you, as been said earlier, have seen the FAFSA form or just a simple application to a college these days, knows that this has all kinds of informational pitfalls that you can easily fall into. And without somebody looking over your shoulder but not needling you with an elbow necessarily, this is a place of some assistance. And the key, again, volunteers, essentially leveraged by this amount of money that we're asking from the state to coordinate that effort. And if I could just sum up, my professional experience as a teacher over 36 years has made it really very clear to me that continuing education beyond secondary schools is absolutely critical to every young person I met and has been already stressed the economic health of this state. We need to do all we can to ensure the broadest possible access to post-secondary education and training of all kinds. Because Oregon students are facing increasing post-secondary costs every year, continuing to find ways to leverage non-governmental resources is absolutely imperative. HB 2245 offers a cost-effective way for the state to contribute to that effort. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mazzarino. Any questions?
Can I ask one question? Thank you. Mr. Mazzarino, I was just curious, does the program also help students kind of understand the process for getting through professional schools such as medical school, law school, dental school, and that sort of thing? I mean, so if a student were to walk in as a junior in high school and say, well, gee, I'd really like to be a medical doctor or an osteopath or a chiropractor or whatever the case may be.
That's the essence of the beginning conversation.
Great.
It's who do you want to be or what are you looking for? And let's explore some pathways that are going to get you to be the person you think you want to be. And one of the things we want to stress at any point in the conversation is that it's very good to have identified a goal. You may not know all the things that are required to get to that end, so that there ought to be optional additional pathways to think about to get you in the same field, but not maybe necessarily the same position that you started out with. So the encouragement to identify a goal, to be sure you've got plan B and C as alternatives there.
Sure.
And to understand that for any professional career, the pathway is not a short one. This is a long process, so I want you to put on your best boots to make this trip. So I'd like to say it's as for the people that I've worked with directly over the last 8 years now, this is a challenge to talk to students in a way they can see farther down the trail than they might otherwise do without those conversations. High school students don't have even the best ones I've talked to, those high-achieving 4-point-plus students, ability to see down the pathway of their life is compromised by any number of things. Electronic media, hormones, all kinds of things get in the way of really seeing not only what their goal might be, but what the environment is like to get there. I don't think any of them are ready for the long pathway that it takes.
So. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much for being here today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Members of the committee, members of the audience, just wanted to remind folks, and I should have done it earlier, if you have a cell phone, even if it hasn't, if you have the volume off, you need to turn your phone off. Otherwise, the system gets interference in the microphone. So if you have a cell phone or electronic device, please make sure it's off. I'm going to call John Turner, Frank Toda, and Fred Smith, please.
Frank Toda, Dr. Toda, Chair Buckley, was afraid his car was going to be left someplace where it would be towed off, so he has exited because he ran out of parking time, so I was going to make the statements for him.
He can see further than a high school senior.
he doesn't like that ticket. It's not part of your travel expense in most colleges. Representative Buckley, I am Fred Smith. I am the president of Klamath Community College, and I'm here representing my college, as well as I am one of the Aspire mentors. The first students that I will see will be next Monday at about this time at 1:30. So, Representative Kremel, the training that I took, I could tell you, yes, we did talk about, you know, if we get a student who's interested in professional schools, as well as a student who might be interested in a proprietary school. You know, maybe just wants to be a truck driver. And so we have to be prepared for any end of the spectrum that our students may take and support them along that way. And so that's part of the training. I passed on my first application. I didn't have to take my second, so I got through and passed everything else. But I'm here to support it because, you know, at the school districts in my district, the high school that I will be at has 980 students and 4 guidance counselors. And another high school right down the road has 600 students and 2 guidance counselors. So it's a very, very heavy load. And I, as a citizen and a member of Rotary, get to read a lot of scholarships and those kinds of things. And I read these and go, God, these guys need a mentor. They need some help with this. And I go home and I complain. Of course, my wife tells me, you're a child of the 60s. You're either part of the solution or part of the problem. So what's your choice? So I thought I would go and volunteer. So I'm one of the volunteer mentors, and next week I see my first student. So when it comes back, if you need somebody for Ways and Means, you need somebody to say, okay, what's it like? Then I can tell you what it will be like as a rookie, because I have called our Aspire person and been nervous a lot of times, because, you know, it's one thing to speak to my staff, but it's another thing to actually speak to a young man or young woman and try to help them with, because as was noted, I can see further out in front of them and say, okay, here's some things you want to miss. But Frank Toda, I'll speak for Frank very quickly. He's the one who's not hair follicle challenged like myself and dresses much better. He is an advisor to the state board, or has been to the state board of education. He does not have an Aspire program yet in his district, and he's looking forward to getting his first one so that he can be part of this as well. But he is an advocate for this as well. One of the last things I want to leave you with is, you know, part of Aspire is dealing with seniors and getting the seniors with their college applications and understanding what it is they would like to do with their lives. And I get to make a presentation a couple of weeks from now about the sociology of going to college and coming home. Because, you know, those of you who have gone to college and then left your friends at home and then come back, you know, understand what they're going to see when they come back at Christmas. You know, and the kids who have been left at home are going to treat them differently, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the sociology of going to college and how that will impact them when they return. But the greater thing for us and for me is I see a lot of freshmen, and we had 800 freshmen on my campus this fall who have no idea, and they have little hope of going to college. And so if we can reach down and we can talk to them and say, hey, this is something you can aspire to be,
and it's not that difficult, you know. And for me, you know, one of the greatest days of my life, I tell students is, you know, getting my first grade card from the College of the Redwoods and seeing that sterling 0.9 GPA and not having academic probation stamp next to it. So that was a good day. And say, you know, there are people who
I think we all had a day like
yeah.
that.
I had much too much fun my first semester on campus. And so, you know, here are some of the pitfalls that you'll run into, some of the distractions you may have. So, but it's reaching down to the freshmen and the sophomores and the juniors and getting them thinking about there is more to life than high school. And so with that, I'll turn to John Turner, the president of BMCC.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Mr. Turner.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for letting me address you today. I'm John Turner. I'm the president of Blue Mountain Community College, and I reside in Pendleton, Oregon. Blue Mountain Community College serves the six northeastern rural counties of our state, about 18,000 square miles. Density of population is less than 8 people per square mile. Our total population out there is less than that of the city of Eugene. So it's a rural, well-dispersed environment, if you will. The number of people who have college degrees in Northeast Oregon is well below the level of the state, and so we see at Blue Mountain Community College many low-income, at-risk, first-generation college-type students. And so my observations of how Aspire works in the Pendleton High School have been very positive. I'd like to give you a little insight. As the program started there about 7 years ago, with 3 or 4 adult mentor volunteers and about 40 students. Those 40 students had already decided that they were going on to college in those days. Now, about 7 years later, there are about 30 adult mentor volunteers in the Pendleton High School program, serving approximately 400 students, and like Fred just said, reaching not just seniors who already know they want to go to college, but students down in the sophomore leveled who can say, if I'm going to go to college, I probably need to take more math or more science, and I probably need to start investigating how I'm going to pay for it. That's the value of this, but there's a culture change that Mr. Johnson testified about earlier. It's not just the parents of the athletes that are now walking the high school hallways. It's the volunteers and the parents that want to get involved in being Aspire mentors, or they want to find out more about what opportunities their kids have in high school, because they're starting to realize as parents that maybe it is within their grasp to send their kids on to college. That's the cultural change that's taken place at Pendleton High School. So I think really what Aspire does, it helps the students realize early that even though their parents didn't go to college, that might be an opportunity for them, what opportunities there might be to pay for that. And again, it's not just college, but it's post-secondary training opportunities might be out there for them. And I'd like to leave you with one statistic. The head of the Aspire program at Pendleton High School informs me that last year of the graduating seniors, fully 50% of them were able to get some kind of scholarship, not government Pell Grants, but scholarships to help finance their college educations because of the investigations that they started as members of the Aspire program. Thank you.
Was it 50%?
50%, 50.
Any questions, members?
Mr. Chair, I have one question. You were there in 2004, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I believe, Mr. Chair, if I might. You had the Student Assistance Commission as a host for a series of budget hearings at that time. One of the things I heard very clearly from folks in your community that were hosted were they wanted to see the Aspire program funded and in general fund, and they wanted part-time students included. That was done last session, part-time students included in the opportunity grant. So now it's time for us to deliver based on your requests at the budget hearings, Mr. President.
I would agree completely.
Hell, that's a tough one. That was tough.
Any
other questions? Gentlemen, thank you both for being here. Best of luck with your work, and we hope to be seeing and talking to you often.
Thank you very much.
Can I call... I'm not sure if it's Key or K. Jackson. K. Jackson, Patrick Bissell. And apparently what's happening with the middle microphone there is that it's been crackling all day, so the only recommendation that the tech folks have is to sit a little bit back from that middle microphone. Don't speak too much directly into it. Welcome. Would you identify yourself and let us know your thoughts?
Chair Buckley, members of the committee, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you today. My name is Key Jackson, and I'm a student at Western Oregon University. I feel honored to be here with you this afternoon on behalf of the Oregon Students Association and the Oregon Students of Color Coalition to ask for your support of the Aspire program. OSA represents over 100,000 students at Oregon's colleges and universities. OSOC is an affiliate board that focuses on issues impacting students of color on campuses and statewide. Both the OSA and OSOC boards have prioritized Aspire for the first time this session. Oregon's higher education system is facing a crisis. While we know that a strong future for our state requires an educated workforce, fewer residents are attending Oregon community colleges and universities today than last year. At a time when a college degree is more important than ever before, this is a disturbing trend that must be addressed, and we believe Aspire is the solution because it gives students the skills necessary to make decisions about their future. When looking at the statistics as to who are furthering their education, I feel lucky to be here today. While 90% of children from families with incomes above $75,000 go on to college after high school, only 50% of those from families with incomes below $25,000 do the same. Students from rural Oregon communities are attending college at a rate less than half of that of the state average. Although 48% of white high school students go directly into college following graduation, only 27% of Latinos and African Americans do the same. More disturbing, these gaps are growing. For most high school students today, the question of whether or not they go on to higher education comes down to whether or not they have the tools to make it a reality. In the past, high school counselors have served that role, meeting with students one-on-one to discuss what they're going to do after graduation. Today, high school counselors in Oregon no longer have adequate resources to provide students with these tools to make their decisions. While the recommended number of high school students per counselor is 243, in Oregon, the average is 364. Students already underrepresented in our high schools, low-income and students of color, are most at risk of not receiving these tools. Administered by the Oregon Students Assistance Commission, Aspire was initiated in 1998 in response to a lack of college outreach and preparation programs in our high schools. This unique program matches high school students with volunteer mentors who give students tools necessary to make important decisions regarding their future. From examining students' choices for post-secondary education and finding financial aid resources to assisting with the application process and preparing for college itself, these mentors provide students with up to 30 hours of one-on-one attention. This is far more attention than counselors are able to provide with their workloads. For first-generation students, this guidance is helpful to the student and the family as they try to make future decisions. In addition, Aspire is open to all students and does not advocate for one program over another. It arms students with information and guides them, but does not a student towards a certain path. The decisions high school students must make today about their future seem massive. The first major hurdle that a 17-year-old faces is figuring out how to finance their education. The average debt of Oregon students today for an undergraduate degree is nearly $20,000. For many, it's much higher. Not surprising, today's average high school students and families overestimate the cost of a college education by about three times the actual amount. Not sure what options are available, this is where many high school students give up. If able to get past the financial hurdle, they then need to determine which of the schools best serves their interests. In only 8 years, Aspire has proven to be a huge success. From Portland to Coos Bay to Ashland, high schools throughout Oregon have seen major increases in students going on to higher education after the program has been instituted. At Ashland High School, administrators reported a 12% increase in the number of students indicating their intention to attend college after graduation only 1 year after the program was introduced. But despite it maximizing its resources, Aspire currently only exists in just over 80 of Oregon's 317 high schools. There are students all over the state that need guidance and counseling that Aspire offers. Since its founding, Aspire has been funded by private, community, and federal grants. To guarantee that all Oregon high school students have access to the tools that this program offers, the state must make an investment. The bill that is before you today is the first step in establishing Aspire as a state program within OSEC. This program has been serving Oregonians for the past 8 years, and it's time that we recognize it. While we ask you to pass HB 2245 today, we are also advocating this session to fully fund the Aspire program at $3.1 million so that all high schools that want the program have the opportunity to have it in their schools. This will guarantee that every single Oregon high school student, regardless of their background, has the tools necessary to make decisions about their future.
Thank you very much. Mr. Bissell.
I actually have papers for you that I can.
All right. Very good.
Chair Buckley, members of the committee, my name is Patrick Beisel, sort of buy-sell combination. I just want to first thank you for the opportunity to come and talk with you today. So I am an Oregon Student Association board member, as well as the State Affairs Director for Portland State University, where I reside in Portland. And perhaps more importantly, I am an Aspire graduate of the program from Grand High School. So. Aspire, as currently or earlier stated, stands for Access to Student Assistance Programs in Reach of Everyone. Many of you might be wondering, those that really quick, where the A in assistance, what happened to that in the acronym. But I assure you that the program is actually more than just missing letters. It's about missing people, actually. So let's talk just a little bit more about the missing persons idea. I mean, in Oregon, we need to raise the aspirations and make college a reality for all the students that want it. The reality of the situation is, unfortunately, if your parents didn't go to college, this becomes incredibly difficult for you to get the information that you need to know to go on and pursue post-secondary education. So Key told you a lot of important facts, and so now it's just I'm going to tell you a little bit about my experience with the program. So I attended Grand High School, as I said earlier, which is in Northeast Portland. And before my senior year, I was paired up with a volunteer mentor named Deborah. And Deborah had a son who had previously graduated from Lincoln High School, I believe, and she was very familiar with the FAFSA and the whole college application process. When I first met with her, actually, I had little intention to attend college. I just didn't want to go. Just had no interest in pursuing any sort of university. However, during our first meeting, rather than try and convince me to go to college, like my guidance counselor had, she sat down with me, and as noted, the first conversation that we had was, what do you want to be? What do you want to do? It wasn't a lot of pressure. It was just that she listened to me. And she helped me think of nonprofits that I wanted to work for, community colleges that I might want to attend, just different ways that I might pursue things after I graduate from high school. And it was this understanding and this amiable demeanor that she had that really made me rethink the entire idea of attending college, rather than someone pressuring me into doing that. So I think that was significant. Deborah and I continued to meet every week throughout the year, discussing everything from the colleges that best suited my interests to, you know, colleges that best suited my budget. You know, coming from a lower middle class family, there was definitely money was in mind. Brainstorming ways to pay for colleges, you know, she helped me research scholarships. Eventually, spring came, and naturally, the college letters started to come back. To my great dismay, all of my applications were in fact rejected. This was devastating for me because I had invested a great deal of time and energy and commitment to attending college, and then to have these letters come back left me in a place of limbo, if you will. So I began to recede into myself and decided that the best thing to do was to return back to the original plan and just not go to school. However, I soon got a call from Deborah, just a follow-up call. You know, how did things go? Did you get in? Is there anything else I can do for you? And it was at that moment in my life when my guidance counselor was too busy pushing people through the system and my parents were too busy working and paying for bills that my Aspire counselor was the one person that I could turn to for help, for guidance. And it worked. You know, we sat down one more time. We laid out the options, possible places for me to attend. I applied late registration to Portland State University. I got in. But quite simply, without Deborah's guidance, I would not have been able to realize my potential at PSU. I would not have enrolled in the Honors University. I wouldn't have gotten involved on campus. I wouldn't have achieved any scholarships. I wouldn't be here testifying before you today. Up until this year, I kept in contact with Deborah, actually. And she even helped me research scholarships after I had graduated from high school. I talked to her about everything from what was going on in my life. It wasn't just a guidance counselor. This was more of a personal relationship, somebody who actually cared about my future. So just generally, I think it's worth noting that I believe that it is essential for students throughout the state that this state gets the Aspire program. Because with in-state tuition, enrollment down in universities and colleges, this issue is more important than ever. We need to make sure that we raise students' aspirations. I mean, that's just the basic fundamental level of Aspire, is to raise those aspirations. We've talked about, you know, a complete cultural shift. I think even more basic than that, it's just raising the hopes of students. In conclusion, OSA believes that the Aspire program is an essential part of making Oregon stronger. And I know it's made me stronger. And without it, thousands of students will not receive the necessary services needed to help them reach college. As you know, this bill will create Aspire as a program within OSAC, and it is a first important step to move forward, just generally in the program. In addition to this bill, the governor has seen the importance and the effectiveness of the program and has placed it squarely in the state budget, allocating about $1.3 million to it. This $1.3 million would go to the growth of the program, and it would be the first time ever. The governor's investment will expand the program to 150 schools statewide, expanding outside of the I-5 corridor. And we hope that by the end of session, we will have the opportunity to expand it into all the schools that want it. So please pass HB 2245. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Beisler. Any questions, members? It's a wonderful testimony. Very good job. Yeah. Go. Thank you, Ms. Jackson. Appreciate it very much. Julia Fisher, Jennifer, thank you, Jennifer. I always appreciate the little assistance there.
I always kind of need to get there.
Welcome to you both. Mr. Fisher, would you like to begin?
Sure. My name is Joel Fisher. Thanks for having me, Chairman, and the rest of the committee. Post-secondary education was always something that my family and I had talked about, but talking about a post-secondary education doesn't equate to attaining or even applying for a post-secondary education. In high school, the process of registering for the next year's classes is institutionalized, but the process of applying to a university, community college, or trade school requires initiative and is full of institutional barriers. High school students do not lack the necessary initiative. However, initiative can only translate into a successful post-secondary education application process if the answers to our high school students' questions are institutionalized. When our students take the initiative and show an interest in a post-secondary education, it is up to us to provide them with the answers and guidance necessary to ensure they know how to get a hold of an application, how to fill the application out, the appropriate test to take, requisites to meet, and scholarships to apply for. The Aspire program provides this guidance. I am currently employed as a legislative assistant to a member of the Oregon State House of Representatives. This job for me is an honor and a personal accomplishment, made possible by a post-secondary education. My post-secondary education was made possible by two loving parents who instilled in me a passion for learning and an enthusiasm for a post-secondary education. But most importantly, my education was made possible by two loving parents who kept me home one Saturday when I could have been spending time with friends and helped me fill out the Oregon State University application that I'd been struggling to do myself for a month. They helped me get a new application after I spilled orange juice on the first application, and they helped me fill out my financial aid forms. Please do not underestimate the difficulty of the post-secondary application process. Even finding the application can be a time-consuming task. The decision to embark on such a life-changing and expensive journey is not a decision that high school students should make alone. The idea of a post-secondary education is for many students a very intimidating thing. Many students do not realize that a post-secondary education is something that they can achieve. The mechanism that can help students realize that a post-secondary education is within their grasp is the Aspire program. Two of my high school friends planned on continuing working in their low-paying high school job straight out of high school. One of our high school counselors, Mr. McKenzie, took the time to help these two students and many others through the application and even the appeals process and get into a post-secondary education. These students had thought that a college education was out of their reach, but Mr. McKenzie helped them realize it wasn't. Our high schools do not have enough counselors to get to every student, but those students whom they have time to reach are changed forever. Every time I see a friend from high school still working in the same low-paying job they had in high school, I'm cognizant of the fact that they have the potential to achieve a post-secondary education and improve their economic situation, but lack the guidance in high school to apply for a post-secondary education. I went to Benson High School. One thing I've reflected on often was the difference in the yearbook between Benson High School and Lincoln High School in Portland. That difference I'm talking about is the fact that Lincoln High School lists for every student what they're doing after high school. And every student, not every, a lot of those students, it's the college that they're going to. I don't have the exact figures, but it's astonishing. And it's astonishing that Benson High School does not list where it is that we are going after high school, whether it's, you know, a college education, a community college, a trade school, or what. But just that is in the yearbook kind of speaks to the fact that when you have a high school with parents who have gone to college before, who are helping their children through, the culture around Lincoln High School is one that is compelling students to go to college and helping them along the way. Another interesting fact about Benson is its vocational program. The Aspire program is now at Benson High School, but most people aren't aware of, you know, how to apply for a post-secondary education in terms of not a university or a college, but programs like automotive or communications or photography, things like that. The Aspire program is very effective at helping the students take that vocational education they've gotten at Benson and translate it into something a little more professional than just what we had at high school. I personally owe it to my parents for helping me through the application process. If I were left to my own devices, I would probably not have finished the application to OSU. And I would most likely still be working at the low-paying restaurant job I had through high school and much of college. The doors to the incredible opportunities I walk through now with ease would be closed to me, like they are to many of my friends. One time a college student recruiter came to my school, she wrote two numbers on the chalkboard. One was the average amount of money a high school graduate makes over their lifetime, about $1.2 million. The other number was the average amount of money a college graduate makes over their lifetime, about $2.1 million. The average college student makes almost double what the high school graduate makes. The Aspire program is the mechanism that helps more Oregonians achieve a post-secondary education and improve their economic situation. The result is more skilled workers, more educated citizens who are less reliant on government services, a more robust economy, and more taxable income that will prove to be an incredible return on the state's investment. I ask that you pass this legislation as a necessary first step to ensure that Oregon's high school students have the guidance necessary to help them attain a post-secondary education.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Ms. Satellino.
Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee, my name is Jennifer Satellino, and I reside in Portland, Oregon. I'm currently the manager of a nonprofit college access center that provides free assistance to students and families as they navigate their way into post-secondary education and training. Prior to my work at the center, I worked in college admissions and financial aid for over 15 years. I'm currently a member of the Aspire Advisory Team, and I'm a former Aspire mentor. And my office is right across the street from Benson High School, so I'm very happy to be next to Joel. Today I'm testifying in support of House Bill 2245, and I offer you three reasons to support this bill. First, the college application and financial aid process has become increasingly complex, and many families have difficulties plotting a course from high school to post-secondary training. Second, many students do not have an adult advocate who is knowledgeable regarding the ins and outs of college and scholarship applications. Lastly, we can't control the complexity of the financial aid form, the admissions policies and procedures of the thousands of colleges nationwide, or the scholarship application processes for each individual scholarship program. What we can control, however, is the flow of accurate information to the high school students of Oregon as they seek a route from high school to their working life. Aspire is about helping Oregon students. Aspire helps students from lower-income families, students who are the first in their families to think about attending college, students who are middle-income with well-educated parents, students who are in foster care. In short, Aspire reaches out to students across the spectrum in our state. Going to college is more complex now than it ever has been. 20 years ago, when I graduated from Wilson High School in Portland, Oregon, my teachers and counselors had time to support and guide me as I found my way to college. Today, the path to college is so complex that teachers and counselors are not able to provide that kind of assistance in addition to their already demanding jobs. Aspire trains mentors from the local community to help high school students get into college with the best financial aid package they can qualify for. Briefly, let me illustrate the need for Aspire with two very quick examples. Last Saturday, January 20th, OSAC produced College Goal Oregon. It's a day when families can drop into sites across the state and receive expert help in completing the free application for federal student aid, or the FAFSA. At PCC Rock Creek, a grandmother brought her granddaughter in because they could not figure out how to fill the form in themselves. Although the grandmother, who is 75, has worked hard all of her life and has raised her granddaughter with the expectation that she will attend college, she was unable to complete the forms on her own. If this student had an Aspire mentor, she would know the steps to take to attend the college of her choice, and both she and her grandmother would realize that the dream of attending college is within her grasp. My neighbor is a highly educated woman who was widowed at a young age. Last year, her daughter graduated from high school. We spent all of last year making decisions about early action, early decision, regular admissions, applying for scholarships, and completing the FAFSA or that financial aid form. If a smart woman with an advanced degree who herself works in education finds the FAFSA to be completely unintelligible, then how do other families feel about the ease of that form? Both families faced difficulties in accessing continued education. Both needed help. Both would have benefited from Aspire. I am asking you for your support of House Bill 2245. All Oregonians should aspire to college. With your help, they will, and they will have the support to make it happen.
Thank you, Ms. Adelino. Any questions? Just to add a little bit of color, Mr. Chair.
Please do.
Quickly, because I know we have a list. I worked with Jennifer quite a bit as a financial aid director prior to going to now her work at the Nonprofit Center for Student Success.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And she is an incredible person, a great career so far, and obviously she's early in it still, but she does great work. And I really want to commend also her employer for, A, realizing how great she is, but, B, they've done a great thing. It's an entity that it comes out of kind of a student loan. But the things they do aren't get people to take loans. It's they created the center in Portland to help with all forms of college. And it's just a very sort of visionary way for an entity involved in the loan business to think about grants and other kinds of assistance. And so someone in Portland can just walk in and get help. And it's really the kind of thing that a lot of our, you know, sort of corporate citizens do in Oregon. But I would like to acknowledge Jennifer personally because she has been so helpful to the Student Assistance Commission in a lot of capacities, not just Aspire, but on all the policies they work on and therefore the legislature as well as we implement these things, but to her employer as well. And Mr. Chair, just for Joel, both of his parents are very proud of him.
Inspire the orange juice incident.
Yes, I know it personally.
Mr. Fisher, I hope you enjoy your time working here in the legislature, and thank you both for coming and offering your testimony today.
Thank you.
Scott Corwin and Trinity Minahan, please. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chairs, members of the committee. My name is Scott Corwin. I'm a Vice President with PNGC Power, an energy management firm in Portland, Oregon, and also an advisory team member to Aspire, and I'm here in support of HB 2245. First, I'd like to thank you for holding this hearing today and for your consideration. And I'd like to thank the governor and his staff for their support and certainly for the budget request. The Aspire program serves a critical need for students, in my view, and deserves to be established and funded as a formal program within the Oregon Student Assistance Commission. I'll be very brief in my comments because certainly there's others here today with much more expertise in higher education. However, as a private sector representative to the Aspire advisory team, I wanted to be on record as to the value of this program, not just to students who receive this mentoring, but to the business community at large and certainly to the state's economy. We cannot afford to let our in-state talent slip through the cracks without at least having exposure to the full range of post-secondary education options. With an average of several hundred students per counselor in our schools, this supplementary effort is crucial in order for many students to have access to the information to all types of post-secondary education, and that's education which opens up an array of opportunities, certainly in industries like the energy sector that I deal in. In coordinating existing services and making extensive use of volunteers, Spire has shown it can leverage its resources for maximum benefits to students and the larger community. And now is the time to establish this worthy program within the Oregon Student Assistance Commission and fund it accordingly. I thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today and welcome any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Grohl. Mm-hmm. We'll have our other presenter present before any possible questions. Ms. Minahan.
Hi, my name is Trinity Minahan. Mr. Chair and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to be here and to testify here today. I am an Aspire volunteer at Sheridan High School, so I thought it was important for me to be here and show my support for House Bill 2245. I truly feel that as an Aspire mentor, I can help students as they're paving the way to being successful beyond high school. So, and whether that be a trade apprenticeship program, vocational program, or college or university program, helping them through the forms is quite a process and takes endless hours, and it's very rewarding as a mentor, and I think both the students and the parents get a lot out of it, and it also helps bring the parents back into the students' lives as well as community members. The financial aid and admissions forms, I think, are both overwhelming for students and families, and the Aspire volunteers and mentors ease this process. They also reach all students regardless of GPA or ethnic background. I work with a lot of Native students, other students of color, many first-generation students, and as a first-generation college student myself, I realized that the process is extremely overwhelming, and it takes extra assistance on jumping through the hoops of getting into college or any post-high school programs, making sure that they take the right testing, apply for the admission forms on time is extremely important. There are many deadlines to meet, and these Aspire volunteers help meet those deadlines. It also, as an Aspire volunteer, you help these students set goals, have dreams, and gain expectations of themselves that they would not otherwise have had. So I just feel it's extremely important for House Bill 2245 to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Minahan. Just out of curiosity, when you work with families, do you find that actually having a third party there helps when kind of negotiating between the student and the parents?
Absolutely, yes. And at times you serve as a mediator, and just helping parents understand that maybe what their child needs is more important than what they're thinking. So yeah, it's a great process, though, very rewarding.
Any questions?
Mr. Chair, just a little color.
Representative Clinton.
Thank you. The Sheridan moms are quite infamous, actually. And I don't know that I had gotten a chance to meet Trinity yet, but a few years ago I was here for kind of an Aspire day, and I met some of the Sheridan moms. And they have quite a story. It reminded me a lot of my hometown, Coos Bay, Sheridan, similar kind of economy. And they got involved because they really felt the message from all types of different angles to the kids there were, you're going to work in a mill, and you're going to stay, and that's all you're going to do. And I know that it took hard work to convince everybody, administration, the other teachers, counselors, but this could work. We need to do this, and we're going to put in our time and help. And they made it work. They were an early adopter, really early, one of our first few, I know.
Wow.
And so the Sheridan moms are tough advocates, no matter where, and I would remind you of that. And I want to thank them for sticking to it, because it means so much to people who don't know what their future is in towns like that.
Thank you.
We are the Sheridan moms.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to comment that I'm sure we all do appreciate your public service through this Aspire program. And what you are doing, that's what make our community and state and strong. So, I do appreciate that.
Goes to you too, Mr. Corwin, without a doubt. Thank you both for your volunteer efforts, and thank you both for taking the time to be here today to offer your support for this bill. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
We only have one more person signed up on the list, Robert Mercer. If there is anyone else in the audience who would like a chance to speak, I think we're down to Mr. Mercer.
Chair Buckley, members of the committee, I'm Robert Mercer, 1903 Northeast Hancock, Portland, Oregon, here representing the Oregon University System. Just a brief statement. The Oregon University System adds its voice of support to the creation of the Aspire program. Aspire has been a great partner with Gear Up and with the Oregon University System's goals of creating, developing, and encouraging a college-going culture in Oregon. The goals of Aspire, providing mentoring and resources to help students access education, are in complete alignment with the cross-sector goals of the State Board of Higher Education's Excellence in Delivery and Productivity Working Group as they relate to increasing college-going rates for underserved populations, for strengthening academic preparedness, and for educating students on academic goal attainment. The Oregon University System strongly supports this bill.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that statement. Any questions, members? Mr. Mercer? A very straightforward and clear statement.
Thanks.
Is there anyone else who has not had a chance to speak that would like to speak on this bill?
Mr. Chair, if I might just let...
A little color?
A little color. And actually, there's somebody else. Now, before I put my foot in my mouth again, like the earlier moment, Sarah Piper, right? And are you the director of the Aspire program, or how does that title work? So Sarah, she is now running it. I bragged about Vicky Merkel as the incubator, originator, fairy godmother, we call it. But Sarah now manages the program. And so I'd like to welcome her as well, Mr. Chair.
Very good.
Mr. Chair, the remaining pieces, Representative Roble and I are also sponsoring a bill very, very similar. And some of the issues that for example, Representative Crummell asked about, we can, you know, look at those. I think there was a line 9 that maybe needed to be adjusted. We could do that in our bill as well. It's still in the works.
Very good. Appreciate that. Thank you. Just for information purposes, this is a public hearing on this bill. I wanted to make sure that the committee had a good briefing on the program, and we'll definitely look at the bill presented by Representative Roble and Representative Clem and to see which is the best vehicle for moving forward. And I'm sure the members who are in support of this will trust you, Representative Clem, to hold their best interests at heart. Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Chair, just a mentor question. You're my mentor. Is it wise to place the one thing that you will do anything for out on the table like this as a member? Now you know my soft spot, this commission, this agency, and its programs.
You've set yourself up for the rest of the legislature, so that should work out. That's your take-home
bill.
Thank you.
We should talk later.
I'm going to close this public hearing on this House bill. And thank you all for your participation.
Thank you.
Got to say that we're adjourned. We are adjourned.